Trusted Voices is a Cognizant podcast series that aims to showcase the diversity of thoughts, backgrounds, and identity of our 350,000 associates all over the world. Trusted Disruptors is a special mini-series where we ask associates to reflect specifically on what it takes to build trust in the age of AI. Our focus will be on sustainability, transparency, data security, healthcare, global workforce, and more. The dialogue illustrates how we're building trust, especially when we show up diverse.
Hello, everyone. We're very excited today to invite you to listen to a very special edition of the Trusted Voices podcast. We have Mr. Nageshwar Chirukupalli, who's going to be talking to us about the very evolving landscape of wealth management in the age of AI. In our conversation with him, we're going to be focusing on the preparedness, challenges, and strategies for embracing generative AI in the financial sector. Before we begin the conversation, Nageshwar, would you like to please introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about your role at Cognizant?
Oh, thank you very much, Marika, and thanks for inviting me for this podcast. Excited to share some of my views on, general technology in the wealth management space, and more specifically AI and generative AI and the impact on wealth management. My role in Cognizant, I've joined 6 months back, and currently I'm responsible in leading the growth for banking and capital markets business unit for North America. And definitely wealth management is a significant portion of our capital markets segment. And looking forward to sharing some of my views.
Well, welcome to the podcast and welcome to Cognizant. I didn't realize you're still fairly new. Welcome. Makes me feel like an old hand at 5 years, let me tell you. So, all right, well, let's talk about this. So given the anticipation that 2024 will be a significant year for AI in, you know, delivering value in financial services, what do you believe are the most critical steps that firms are going to need to take to be prepared for this massive shift?
Absolutely. I think, it's going to be extremely important. 2024, we will see, an exponential rise in terms of leveraging AI and machine learning in the financial services segment. Over the last couple of years, we've definitely seen a lot of usage, but, many of them are at early stage POC and pilot, but we have started seeing a lot more interest by many of these big banks and some of that, moving into production. Now, what should be the focus of these firms that are trying to embark on this journey? I think the most important aspect is to understand what are the outcomes that they are expecting, right? So it is clearly, the outcomes that they want to deliver to their clients, the outcomes that they are expecting, from these, using this technology, using AI, in each of their business functions. And the second most important thing is to look at the data that they have got in hand, right? Data becomes a critical, asset when you're actually trying to, look at what outcomes that I need to deliver to my clients or what outcomes I need to deliver to my senior management, right? So, and then the third important aspect is to look at, what kind of models that I can leverage and how do I build those models. But the most important aspects, as I mentioned earlier, is to understand the outcomes that need to be delivered and the underlying data that would help, in driving those outcomes. And then look for the talent that would help build those models on top of the data to deliver the.
So you've talked about, the importance of data, and of course the importance of data is going to be driving the outcome. And this comes with a lot of risk, because if you have poor data going in, then the outcomes are going to be very poor. So let's talk a little bit about that, about the challenge of moving to production while managing the risk around data quality, data privacy, and regulatory concerns. How do you envision firms effectively balancing the rapid progression of AI technology with these inbuilt inherent risks?
So I think, I would put it like this, right? So whenever an organization is trying to progress towards these newer technologies and with all of these inherent risks, the first and more specifically in the AI space, right? I talked about data, right? It's important to have a very robust data management framework.
Yeah.
Many financial firms have actually set up the data management frameworks over the last few years. But I think there is a need to further enhance this, considering the changes that have happened with the advent of AI and more specifically GenAI. And the second aspect that I would say is to make sure that they are also augmenting their risk and regulatory framework with some of the concerns because of this new AI technology. And we hear a lot about things like hallucination and stuff like that, right? How do we really make sure that, the risk and regulatory framework is also incorporating some of the privacy-related concerns that there are around, right? And how do we make sure we, have a framework created around that? And third and the most important thing is to do an ongoing audit, right, of the outcomes that are being developed. Make sure you you have an appropriate risk framework around these outcomes that are being developed, right? And these would help you again be a feedback mechanism to go back and start looking at what else I need to do from a data management framework perspective. What else do I need to do from a risk, regulatory, and privacy framework perspective? And how do I make sure that the outcome is in line with what we want to deliver to our clients and our management?
I feel like as you're speaking, I'm getting the understanding that different organizations are at different levels of data maturity, right? Some of them may already have these things established and some of them are probably just thinking about it. So what advice would you give to some CEOs who are coming around to adopting this right now and trying to bridge the gap between where they were and where they are?
So I think from a data management perspective, I think it's extremely important that many of these CEOs that are trying to embark on this journey, they're in many of their organizations which have already started on their data journey many years back. It's not something new for many of the large financial services firms, but considering what is happening overall, I think it's important to bring some of the newer tools and newer techniques in terms of further enhancing their data management framework, right? It is bringing that robustness in their data management framework. And I think it's also important for the CEOs to make sure the organization understands, how do we build a data-driven culture across every stakeholder. It's no longer, with just the chief data officer or with just the technology team. It's got to be embedded within the business team. Everyone from the business and technology needs to understand the importance of, that whole data-driven culture. And I think the other important aspect that many of the CEOs have started realizing is, you can continue to build a lot in-house, but it's also important to see how do we leverage partnerships. Right? How do we work with the broader ecosystem so that you are able to get benefited from what is available within the overall ecosystem, right? I think that's the other thing the senior management, something that CEO needs to drive home with the senior management of these organizations, right? I think that's AI is all about, how do we have the right data? How do we make sure we are able to build an ecosystem that will bring all of this together? And, how do you make sure that the learnings that you are getting from the broader ecosystem act as a feedback mechanism so that you are further maturing your own data and AI organization?
And that's a perfect segue, actually, into my next question, which is, when we say the CEO needs to bring other people to get them to have an understanding of what's happening, obviously, there's upskilling is going to be required with employees to understand the new data models, the technology, et cetera. So what a skill or identity gaps do you think the current wealth management employee base has that will need to be addressed to take full advantage of AI? I mean, in your experience, what are some of the things that you're seeing?
So, absolutely. I think, as I mentioned earlier, right, it's important to understand the importance of data, right? It's whether it's the financial advisors or it's the senior management of the firm or it's the asset manager, each one of them really need to understand how important the data is. And now today, a lot of that is available for end users, right? It's available, it's become, it's got in a you know, for lack of a better word, I would say it's got democratized, right? So it's important that, you know, the advisors, especially in the wealth management space, understand that, you know, there is access, broader access for some of this data. How do I make sure you make the best use of this data and also start synthesizing that and augmenting that with the human potential that I have got, right? So yeah. It's important that the advisors, the senior management, understand, have those skills of data analysis, have those skills on how these various tools work, right? Whether it's the publicly available tools like the ChatGPT or Bard or any of those, or the co-pilots, or it's some of the other data management and machine learning tools that are there. And you know, if it is needed, then the CEO should look at training their business folks, training their advisors on these tools and technologies, and continuously upskill them. And I think the other important aspect that many of the senior management need to look at is, how do I augment some of these advisors with more tech, you know, talent or AI talent, so that together they can work as a team and drive some of the outcomes. I think that's how you start addressing some of these skill gaps. If I go back in the history, right, we've got so many of the legacy platforms that existed for many, many years. And the only way we could sort of get away from those legacy platforms is by augmenting, you know, teams with newer skills while continuously reskilling some of these, you know, existing teams that were working on the legacy technologies, and together been able to, you know, move the progress, the organization with the newer technologies.
So let me ask you a fun little question before we move into something else. Mm-hmm. You know, you deal with this on a day in and day out basis. So let me ask you this. When you think of Gen AI in wealth management, in your industry, in your field, what is the one thing that just really excites you and you're like, oh my God, this has incredible potential? Like, what's just that one thing that pops out at you?
Absolutely. So today, the biggest thing that's the biggest disruption that has happened with Gen AI is the democratization of advice. Uh-huh. You know, if you go back 10 years, any investment advice, you know, you always had to reach out to your financial advisor, and obviously they had you know, some information. They also had to reach out to their broader teams within the organization. There was a research that was done, and a lot of that information you know, was based on what was available in pockets, and some of that you know, is only based on subscription of that information by select you know, advisors. And you know, you had to go by you know, what the advisor has told you, because you had no other way to validate the information, because you also, you know, many of these and investors did not have a way to you know, capture that information. But today with Gen AI, you know, I can go just for an example, right? I can say, what's been the performance of IBM, just taking as an example again,
right? Sure.
You know, IBM, what's the performance of an IBM as against, you know, one other peer company of theirs like HP over the last 3 years. And I can, you know, it gives me a quick analysis, which otherwise was, you know, only possible with, you know, some tools with, and it was only possible, you know, with the financial advisor working with their backend operations team. I think that kind of a democratization and access to information is really a powerful tool, and that's available to the end user. Now, most of them have started leveraging these tools and extracting it even before Gen AI, right?
Of course,
if you go back and look at what has happened with GameStop and some of those examples, well, those are not probably the right examples, but you know, there, the way it got democratized and everyone started using you know, the investment thesis and doing their own analysis and you know, coming out with the right investments, I think that's what is the biggest disruption that I would say has happened.
So now let me flip the question. Mm-hmm. What is the one thing that actually keeps you up at night and worried about what's happening, because the change is happening so rapidly? And there's a lot of power, you know, the democratization of data also gives a lot of power to people.
Absolutely. So I'll go back to the same example that I've taken, right? While
yes.
GameStop and some of those investments a couple of years back, you know, something that really helped people, you know, make quick bucks and you know, create their own investment thesis. In the same token, there are people who have lost money because many of them, you know, did not know what to trust, what not to trust. And the whole confidence on the market started eroding because, you know, things were moving in a random fashion, in ad hoc fashion, right? So today, because a lot of them were depending on the systems that were providing, and those systems eventually were controlled by certain humans, and those humans have had vested interests by which they are driving those systems, right? So I think that's what the whole aspect around how do you build a trust, and how do you, how can you be that trusted disruptor in this space? I think that's where the focus need to be. And how do you develop the trust with your end clients, right? For a wealth management company today, if they make a recommendation, how do you make sure that the recommendation that they are giving to their investor is something that they can stand behind, is something that can be traced back to how they have arrived at that recommendation, right? And are they really making sure that there are no vested interests in making that recommendation? So all of this will go back to, you know, having that trust, transparency, and having that ethical approach in any of these is where, you know, I would be worried every day because things are so rapidly changing. And when it comes to, you know, managing wealth, it's always, you know, that the clients always have a challenging situation, and they don't, no one wants to lose money, right?
Of
but there's only that much of a yeah. window of tolerance between getting, you know, making more money and losing money.
And this leads me into our last question, which you've actually already touched upon in your answer here. So talk to me a little bit about Cognizant's role now. So we pride ourselves on being a trusted disruptor in the age of AI.
Absolutely. I think, you know, as you've heard Ravi mention many times, right, we've invested a lot in terms of developing these skills. You know, one of the aspect that, you know, which I've mentioned earlier in the question, in some of the responses is the biggest gap that we see today is the talent. Is the availability of the talent, the humans that actually can help leverage this technology effectively, and the trained manpower that can start working on that and help deliver those outcomes, right? Whether it comes to, you know, managing the data, or it comes to building the models, or it comes to, you know, understanding the outcomes that need to be delivered, right? So Cognizant always had that you know, it's always had that domain and technology, you know, they always operated in that domain and technology intersection. Now with AI coming in, we've, you know, the investments that we have made in reskilling and upskilling our people in the Gen AI technologies is helping us a lot, right? In terms of how do we combine our domain and technology skills with the, you know, modeling skills together, and how can we deliver these outcomes for the client? So we've actually worked with, indeed, you know, recently we were talking to one of the wealth advisor, you know, big wealth advisor, and we were looking at a scenario where, you know, 5 years from now, can we see how we reduce the number of wealth advisors that are needed, but still be able to deliver a trusted outcome to the investor, right? So that's the kind of thinking that we are driving with our clients. And again, it's obviously a stage that will take a few more years because, you know, the clients, investors really need to trust the models, really need to trust the humans that are building those models, and need to trust the data. If the data is wrong, then your whatever model you develop, you still, you know, will get a garbage out of that outcome, which cannot be trusted, right? And once you lose the trust of once you lose the trust, then you will never be able to, the investor will never be able to trust that particular, you know, outcome again, I think so. That's where we are investing a lot, and we've developed certain platforms. I mean, Neuro AI being one of them. On top of Neuro AI, we are actually developing a lot of use cases that are specific to financial services industry. And I think wealth management is one of the area where we have put a lot of focus and emphasis. And considering the transformation happening in that industry, whether it is intergenerational wealth transfer and the need of more technology-driven approach, or it is the clients that are trying to move more towards getting that great experience similar to what they are getting today in their retail banking, or some of the fintechs that are delivering like Robinhood.
Thank you so much. This has been such an insightful conversation, and I hope we will come back and speak with you again in a year to see where things are and how things are progressing and reflect back on this conversation. So thank you so much for joining us and for your time.